everyone. Welcome back.
Yay.
This is Nathaniel from the Film Experience, and I'm here with Joe Reed,
Hello.
Nick Davis.
Hello.
And Katie Rich.
Hi, everybody.
So we're all back for the finale. It's been a week since the Oscars, so have you sufficiently come down from that? How quick do you recover from the Oscars?
Recover from?
I never recover, I'm just saying.
Well, it does feel like there's a crash of, like, you were anticipating this thing for so long.
There's a refractory period, yes.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, okay, reset, reflect. Sometimes we avoid, like, a whole list of, like, stages of grief that you go through after the Oscars.
Yeah, this year when the backlash started about everybody at the Oscars.
Everything.
I ran away. I was like, done. I'm not thinking about the Oscars. And it was really only yesterday when I read Nick's kind of roundup of what he thought about it, and I watched Julianne's speech again. I was like, okay, now I can like these again. But I really had to like shut it down because of this year's reaction period. It did not suit me at all.
I'm so glad I smelled it coming and knew not to read anything.
Oh my god, that was the smartest thing you've done.
I thought it was super, and I've just like stayed in that place. There was a I'm gonna confidently guess that he was a homeless man with like five bags of newspapers and stuff on the train next to me the other day, who gave me this side eye because he watched me watch Julianne's speech like three times in a row. And the fourth time I looked up and he was just staring right at me like, what is wrong with you? But you know, whatever.
He's like, don't you think she should have mentioned Alzheimer's more in her speech? I'm sure he was outraged about something.
He had an axe grind. The point where I was starting to see people being like, Eddie Redmayne seemed a little needy. I'm like, nope, I gotta go. I can't.
I was watching it again, of course, and Julianne's face right before they call her name, because she knows she's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's this like weird like buildup of she just like, I can't believe this is happening. There's like so much emotion on her face.
When it's like she's just dying for them to say it so that can be over. You know,
yeah.
She's had that wait. She's been in that anticipation for months.
Yeah. For 25 years, you might say.
Yeah, well, that too. Well, the anticipation of knowing she's going to win, which has to feel so different and almost scarier because you're waiting for something that's probably going to happen, but then you second guess yourself. I don't know. I'm putting a lot on Julianne. But
no, I always do wonder, the people who don't win and who aren't expected to win, I wonder how much of that ever penetrates and how much you still, no matter what, have this thought in your head of, like, strange things have happened.
I think Mark Ruffalo tweeted something about that, like how everyone imagines it even if they know they're not going to win. And Mark Ruffalo would know what that feels like.
So to have it be this thing where, like, no, it probably is going to happen, and then you almost maybe want to, like, fight against that because you don't want to be crushed. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in the Michael Keaton position. Because he took his speech out.
Yeah, I mean, that's just
prepared. I watched it again.
That's just smart. I think that was smart doing. You know, have that speech ready. Of course he had to have it ready.
But did he have to take it out of his jacket before they called Eddie's
name? I mean, at least he didn't, like, get up and start walking toward the stage.
Plus, like, it seems like at all the different ceremonies, he is so obviously kind of like a first-timer at all this stuff that, like, it didn't... I mean, I only heard about this. I didn't actually notice that he was doing that. And, I mean, it's not like I rewatched the actors winning. Like, I don't care. But I don't know. It just seemed like he was... inhabiting the moment the way you would if you weren't like super into like awards show protocol, right? Like he was just at an event where he may or may not get up there to give a speech. Like it's
right.
Yeah.
Been funny watching him be like, I didn't know that these things are, they're kind of a big deal.
And he didn't seem particularly crestfallen or like,
yeah,
like sad or pathetic or whatever, which was, you know,
The Birdman win probably softened the blow a little.
I would think so, yeah.
Although, wouldn't you think that would make him think, like, God, if they like the movie this much, why couldn't they like me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, that's projecting onto Michael Keaton. Fair.
Well, I know that Alejandro González Iñárritu is like this Stalinist nightmare who's trying to ruin cinema for all nine planets, but it was nice that he found 5 seconds to let Michael Keaton go up and say something.
Trotsky to his Lenin, Nick. That's
I'm sure.
Well, no, you can't be mad at Iñárritu because you have to be more mad at Sean Penn for the thing he said about Iñárritu before he went up there. So he's in the clear. You got to get with the outrage.
My guess is that they deserve each other in their.
Yeah, if you're buddies with Sean Penn like that, I feel like maybe you do deserve each other.
So other than Julianne's speech, which I'm sure we've all enjoyed, what have you wanted to rewatch or what could you see yourself rewatching?
Well, Nick's snarky comment otherwise, I have watched the Eddie Redmayne thing maybe more than anybody else.
Oh, what am I saying? I've watched it 5 times.
Okay. Yeah, like, I don't know what it is about that, but I think it's just his, like, his excitement, the way he just sort of allows himself, he gives himself over to this most, like, childhood glee.
And yeah.
The little shaker moment is so amazing.
And yeah, because it's when he says the word, this Oscar, out loud, that you know it's sunk in for him. And
yeah,
because
then he freaks out.
Feel the energy
out, yeah,
of that. Yeah, it's really charming.
Well, and I love when, like, old co-stars are happy for each other, and him and Blanchett, who, like,
yep,
you know, I guess, yeah, I don't remember them from Elizabeth the Golden Age, but
oh,
like,
he tries to shoot her. He has a big close up, and
you know maybe I owe up Elizabeth the Golden Age a rewatch, is what I feel.
Ooh,
like.
It's like a dangerous road.
They have, right, like a trade off, like stand down close ups of each other.
Okay. Well, she was so incredibly happy for him, and they, like, when they sort of, like, had that big old bear hug, and it was really nice. And I don't know, I think he's lovely, and I love that somebody was as happy to win it as a guy. So mm-hmm. A lot of the times the guys sort of feel like they have to, you know, hold some decorum, or they break down in a different way. They sort of, like, show their emotion in a different way. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't really crying so much as he was just like, this is so amazingly awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Can we also go back to Blanchett saying okie dokie Smokey before, yes, she opened the envelope?
She's such a girl.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed her.
I mean, what's
one
not,
does.
Yeah, what's not to enjoy about Kate Blanchett?
The thing I can see myself rewatching over and over again is Milena Cannonero.
Oh, she was
so
wonderful.
Great.
Yeah, and Wes Anderson had the best reaction shots of the entire night. Every time his people won, he just looked ecstatic. It was really great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and who was the first one? Was it production design?
No, oh, it was Milena was the first.
Okay, but I think it was the production designer who was just sort of was shouting out all the different Wes Anderson movies, or maybe that was Milena too.
It was Milena too.
Okay, then I'm just, like, totally on the wrong track. Never mind.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I mean, I know, Nick, you mentioned this in your article, but I love that she did that, because
yeah,
I love when stars recognize, or stars, I mean, not that people know who she is.
She is a star. Excuse
She's a star
me.
To me.
Of course.
I just love when they realize its whole career, and they owe their career to, you know, various movies, not just one.
Yeah. I was thinking to, like, talk about the stagecraft of the show, Less Than the Winners. I feel like I will wind up watching that musical number, the opening musical number, again and again, because I'm always fascinated by, like, in what context these work at the Oscars, and the consensus almost seems to always be that it doesn't, but I got to the end of that and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. And then people just, like, hated it at the end of it.
Even the opening number?
I love the opening number, but it just seemed to go all downhill with him. Like,
he
started strong.
Yeah.
And then it just was, like, plummeting through the show.
Yeah, and that's the separate thing that we can talk about too. But I did like the opening number, and I want to, like, compare it to what Hugh Jackman did. And then the one that Neil Patrick Harris did at the Tonys a couple years ago that was had, you know, like the circus and everything that was spectacular. Like, I don't know, yeah. I'm glad that we get full-fledged musical numbers on television a couple times a year, and I want to keep watching that and figure out, like, how it stacks up against everything else.
Yeah, I thought that all worked pretty well. I think, Nick, you had a really good point in your write-up about, for the rest of the show, that tonally, he was probably, through, you know, sort of accident of circumstance, not the person you want to have for the sort of seriously politically agitated Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which you'd kind of, yeah, that you kind of don't.
Well, it just didn't seem like there was a whole lot of perspective on the show in general. Like, the fact that there was no opening monologue, which, like, I'm fine with in principle, like, there's nothing I specifically need from a host, but it was just the first sign that he wasn't really there to engage with the audience exactly. But then there'd be all these other bits lately that were about trying to engage sporadically with the audience. But there'd been no kind of coming together of the host and the crowd before that. And
right.
It all felt strange.
Well, and it's when you have a host who's not quite of that particular part of the Hollywood community, you can't take for granted that they're going to find you adorable.
Right.
And I think that was maybe a little bit of
something that, you know, he when he hosts the Tonys, it's not just that he's part of that whole world, but he also knows that that show is only for other people who
right.
enjoy that world or are part of that world.
Yeah, so. Like nobody's watching it in the end.
Yeah.
It really felt like he went into this overconfident.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's had such amazing success hosting these shows. But he's not, I mean, I know he's in movies, but he's not really a movie guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But and so, I think I mean, that I... might have worked against him a little, too. I mean, Hugh Jackman, I think, was a great host, partially because he's such a movie star.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think Ellen was a pretty great host, and she's not a movie person either. Like, she overcame that somehow, and I don't even know what it was that she did, but...
Well, but her job sort of allows her to ingratiate herself into that community.
And she meets, like, everyone on their press tours.
Yeah, and I think she's just, like, she is much more of that kind of, like, palling around with... Bradley Cooper, Meryl Streep kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then
that's such an established kind of persona as well that everybody knows how to engage with it.
Totally.
I think there were things that probably seemed like good ideas on paper that...
Like the lockbox?
Like, I can't imagine how that seemed like a good idea in any...
Right,
me
as
neither.
It went on and on and on.
And, like, even in, like, interviews after the fact where he's being like, nobody knew what was going on. It was really something. It was just like, okay, like...
Yeah.
Glad you were able to, like, pull a switcheroo like that. Like,
and kidnap Octavia Spencer in the meantime.
She was such a good sport about it, too.
She was, yeah.
Like...
But, like, that bit just went nowhere, especially for her. Like, she just sits there. It's like, welcome back, Octavia. Now sit here and do nothing.
Yeah, that was a very ill-advised, very ill-advised. I've read people complaining that there was too much, like, musical numbers and too much stagecraft, but I actually think the musical numbers were good this time, but...
They were.
But there were too many
of
them.
There were too many of them, but
because
they
if you
all
have,
really good.
Yeah, because if you have, like, the five songs performed, which you should when the songs are good, like they were this year,
yeah.
And then you have the tribute, and then you have the opening number, and then they also did... Like, basically two in memoriams.
Right. Yeah, you didn't
yeah the Jennifer Hudson coming out after was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it was from Smash, which I didn't realize until after. That was the one thing that Twitter actually, like, benefited my life reading it after. It was like, oh, that was a Smash song. I'd not noticed.
Yes, well, I was like, I couldn't believe they were getting away with it. I noticed. But I'm very obsessed with Smash.
I don't know how this played on in Central Time, but when Lady Gaga started singing Sound of Music at 11:15,
yeah.
and I counted the amount of words we had left to go, and it was 7,
yes.
I almost lost my mind.
It was.
I think Joe made exactly that comment here in Central Time. He's like, this is wonderful. I'm just so glad it's 10:15.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. At that point, you're like, give me Best Actress.
Yeah, well, I realized they hadn't handed out original score, and it was like, Jesus Christ, we got a long way to go.
There are a billion reasons why that thing should have happened much earlier in the ceremony, no less because so it wouldn't have come right on the heels of everything about Glory, and then Scarlett Johansson wouldn't have had to go on stage and been like, so also that year, a happy thing.
Right. Oh, jeez, like, yeah.
Oh, gosh. But, like, I kind of don't understand why they don't. But don't backload it with, like, extra stuff just when people are starting to feel how long it is.
Yeah, when everyone is, like, getting, like, packing up their lunch for the next day at work. Like, just get on with it.
Yeah, it was, yeah, the timing of that was odd. But if they hadn't had that whole, like, 15-minute segment about that lockbox, it would have been fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and at least this year, like, especially after Powell, they did a lot better about cutting people off, it seemed.
Yeah.
And so that's always what makes me mad is when they start rushing people off the stage and then do a lockbox bit.
Right.
And God
so
bless
you're like, my son committed suicide. Yeah, you got to go.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'll probably watch his speech again a couple times too, just for that the victory over the stick man from somebody who's not Julia Roberts felt pretty great.
He was so wonderful.
Yeah, he really is.
Good. And did you guys notice, I haven't really noticed this at other ceremonies, that they had the people who were winning from the craft categories all sitting with the people from their category.
They've done that a couple of times. It's not always, but
okay.
But increasingly since they've had those boxes on the side in the new theater, they tend to do that. But
okay.
Which was so... Like, my other triumphant non-Julianne moment was obviously Desplat, and, like, watching how cheerful the other composers were and how... I love the sort of overt, like, I thought I would cut into my own vote, but I didn't. Like, I sort of... I love those admissions that, like, yeah, we all have played all the angles in our mind. We know how these things work. Like that year when George Clooney made the joke about, I guess I'm not winning director.
Yeah.
Right.
That's sort of catnip.
There's a video from the VF Oscar party, which obviously I was watching a lot of, and he was like, "I've been to this party before, but not as a winner." And he just seemed so happy. And you think that, like, in a way, he'd be above the fray because obviously he's a genius and he's accomplished so much. But when someone who's that established relishes the win in that way, it just makes it that much more fun.
Well, and with the like costume designers, for example. You know, I was like, oh, everybody seems happy for Milena because Colleen Atwood and Mark Bridges and everything congratulating her. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, all of them have Oscars. So,
I think Anna B. Shepherd does not have an Oscar.
Oh, no, she does not. But I didn't see her.
Yeah. She's not a star like Milena Cannonero.
Or Colleen Atwood, who's like the Meryl Streep of costume design.
Yeah. She can just hang out and... you know, go up there. Was she the one who said...
I'm going to push back on that and call her the Helen Mirren of costume design. It's been pretty good, and then it's often just kind of what you do.
Was she the one who won and said, oh, I already have three of these?
No, that's Sandy Powell.
The other Meryl Streep of costume design.
Yeah.
I will say with the Julianne Moore speech, which I do, it's wonderful and lovely and like... a fantastic moment. I think I even liked her Independent Spirit Award speech even better.
So great.
Where it touches a lot of those same notes, but it also, like, you really got the sense of, and it was also when she was presenting Paul Thomas Anderson, or Inherent Vice with their award, where she really does feel so, like, of that independent film community, and she really still recognizes what a great, you know, part that played in her building up her career, and... It felt like a culmination moment, even maybe more so than the Oscar for her.
She did an amazing job. Like the BAFTA speech was so specific.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Scottish Mother and like the SAG speech with the As the World Turns. Like she you know, really tailored each one. It was so great. And I don't blame them for not having a different thing to say to 1,600 different groups of people, but.
It's amazing to see somebody who can pull it off.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I was impressed by that, too, because, like, J.K. Simmons used the same joke in each speech.
Sure did.
But she was just, she totally catered. She knew her crowd and knew all of the crowds.
Yeah.
I suspect that Patricia Arquette knows all of her crowds. She's like, oh, really? You've gotten bored with my piece of paper? Boom! Like,
Jennifer Lopez appreciated it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
God, did anyone have a better McClane. Oscars?
I noticed Shirley MacLaine the second time I watched it.
Oh, totally.
Who I hadn't noticed the first time because I was like, you know, so excited about like Meryl freaking out. Yeah.
You can see Viola Davis back there through the cracks between a couple other people's heads. She's into it.
Oh, man, I gotta watch this again.
That is the great accomplishment of HD technology in our lifetime, is that you can see what the people seven rows back at the Oscars are doing.
Yeah.
And I know a reader wrote in to ask who is that sour-faced woman who's not into women's rights behind Meryl Streep, and I have to fess up that I don't know who that is.
I watched it again specifically to find out, and I don't know who it is either.
Just like I don't know who that woman is who's like falling apart with the sheer emotion of Julianne Moore's win.
Right behind Bart.
Yeah, who's that?
I don't
know. She looks, it's almost like you think it's Patricia Arquette for a second, and then it's not.
Nick, my favorite thing about watching the Oscars with you was that the answer to every who is that woman who is was always Bradley Cooper's mom. Where it's just like, who's that woman sitting down? Oh, it's Bradley Cooper's mom. Who is that woman making a face? Oh, it's Bradley Cooper's mom. Okay.
Except when it was Emma Stone's mom. I was like, look,
I was gonna say, Emma Stone's mom and Bradley Cooper's mom, I hope, had a really great time together.
Yeah.
Oh,
what if they hated each other, though? What if they, like, had looked at each other and were just like, ugh, her?
They fight over what their kids got up to on the set of Aloha.
Wow.
Yeah. Cut from a movie that's not out yet.
Well, if they're as awful and ill-tempered as their children, one can only assume they fought.
So who would you guys say was the MVP of the night for you, other than Julianne? We have to keep saying other than Julianne for you.
Sure, question. Yes.
Well, I was going to say Jennifer Lopez, although that isn't really my answer because she wasn't nominated or won anything. But she was sitting next to Meryl Streep for no reason, but made it look fantastic.
Her dress was taking up seven seats.
Her dress was great. The dress she wore to the after parties was also great and almost identical, but like just slightly different, which I love. Like she knows what works and she just repeats it.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. I fell in love with Jennifer Lopez for no reason other than that she and Meryl Streep seemed to be having a great time.
Anybody else on an MVP?
I was going to say David Oyelowo just because
Oh, yeah.
They kept going back to him. Like, he wasn't really a part of the show beyond, like, presenting the one award that he presented.
But, and that,
like,
horrible bit with MPH.
Well, that's the thing, is he sort of, like, he soldiered on through that one, even though it was, like, really kind of
awkward. Yeah, I loved his shaky hand there. That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, every single cutaway to him was, like, exactly the kind of, like, mirror your soul reaction that you want to see, and just... Him and Oprah were, like, holding down the aisle on that side of it. And I don't know, for somebody who was, like, oh, like, secret savior of the show, I was very glad that he was there.
Yeah. His glory tears were better than Chris Pine's glory tears. I'm just going to say it.
And let's not overlook the Carnelian tuxedo. Wow.
Yeah,
his tux was pretty great.
But I was, like, in love with Emma Stone. Like, I haven't been since Easy A.
Oh, nice.
That I just loved her holding up the fake Oscar when her category was... Like, she seemed to be really enjoying being there. I love it when... Which is why Meryl's so great for front row, because Meryl always enjoys herself.
Yep.
Yeah, and Emma Stone seemed to do really well with legitimately knowing she wasn't going to win and enjoying it as a result.
Yeah.
My answer is Henry Hobson, who did the graphics all the nominations.
Oh, very true.
Oh.
I thought the show was just completely spectacular looking at the graphic interface level, which is very rarely true. And those were so natty. And I actually found myself looking forward to them.
Yeah.
Category. And they weren't the same.
Yes.
But they
were really well varied. It was neat.
Yeah.
Did he do them for the In Memoriam as well? I thought the In Memoriam looked beautiful, but then I got really mad that they didn't do clips.
Joe, can you corroborate for our friends that I told you, like, a day and a half before the telecast that John Travolta and Idina Menzel would obviously be a surprise presenting couple for original song?
He absolutely did.
Wow.
Nicely done. Did you predict the face touching?
That's the presenter's contest. He was just like, well, I got one. What's that, Katie?
I was going to ask if Nick predicted the face touching.
I don't like to go too far into thinking about John Travolta, so I hadn't, like, composed a visual scene even in my mind, but...
I needed a cutaway to Kelly Preston at that moment, and so her face was actually shattering.
I think she's literally programmed to not do that.
Yeah.
Her thetans are holding that down.
Yeah.
Although,
that again, for me, was just a reminder of last year's ceremony being a lot more fun. And I think last year's awards were more fun for a lot of reasons, because some cases the winners were more fun, but, like, you bring that back and you're like, oh yeah, remember last year when there were, like, fun unexpected things happening and this thing is going on forever and the host is terrible?
Well, the host thing didn't, like, you know, people, the hosts always get bad reviews.
Yes.
Always. So, but that's why I think it's, like, even worse now that Tina and Amy did the Golden Globes, like, three times, because they got such good reviews, even though nobody gets good reviews for hosting.
Yeah.
That is a little bit of a different beast, though.
Yes.
It moves much faster. It's always done on time. Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. But they really... They, you know... The optics of it are that they're killing it, and everybody else is sort of floundering.
Yeah. So I wonder how they would do at the Oscars.
I think
Part of me doesn't want to find out. Just because...
Yeah.
If the Oscars could, you know... beat them down to, like, I don't know. It seems like such a difficult job to really nail.
I think they should have Hugh Jackman back. That's my vote. Or Whoopi, even. It's been a long time.
Whoopi? Oh, wow. That'd be fun.
Emma Thompson. Either Emma. The two
Emmas. I'm going to renew my call for Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Oh.
What about the cast of the female Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, they'd be amazing.
That would be great.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be up for it.
Milena Cananero.
Patricia Arquette.
Well, totally.
We have a town hall.
Milena Cananero with Alexander Desplat. I'd watch that.
Oh, man. And Emmanuel Lubezki. Just the three of them.
Chivo.
Oh.
That was really wonderful.
I loved, my favorite part of that was after she said it, she was doing a little dance in her gown on stage waiting for him to walk up.
Yep.
Which I was just like, oh my God, I love her.
Don't you just, when she says that, you immediately imagine the hours they logged, like, in a cornfield somewhere.
Yes.
Like, following the light. Like, yep. They've been through it together.
Yep, totally. Well, and I love that little reminder that just, like, you know, it's not just a movie's cast that bonds on a film, and sometimes we're so concentrated on actors mm-hmm. that it's nice to remember that, like, the family behind a movie is more than just what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and especially with him, too, because he's such a part of the story
yep.
of a lot of movies that he's involved in, especially the last two. So, yeah.
Gravity and Birdman.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it was a nice reminder of, like, it was just a couple years ago where he was so thoroughly robbed for Tree of Life, and now that he's a back-to-back yep. winner, like, you can't really resent it that much.
Right.
Well, and
it's cool
that
Robert Richardson has had the integrity to go underground ever since that happened. Like,
yes.
I mean, it's the right move.
I was for a blog post this week. I watched Ali for the first time. I had never seen it before,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea that he was cinematographer on that. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, this movie. I was sort of blown away entirely by how much I liked the movie in general.
Yeah,
but I was like, this is a gorgeously shot movie, and like, credit to Michael Mann. Let me see who was the cinematographer. Oh, okay, like it was Lubezki. Right. Like, of course.
Yeah.
But that was like years before he became, because I feel like it was The New World was the one that everybody sort of snapped to attention on him, right?
Well,
I thought it was Sleepy Hollow, which was a little bit before Ali. I remember Ali being the first moment that I was conscious of being excited that I was going to an Emmanuel Lubezki movie.
Okay. Well, maybe then I was just way behind with because I feel like
I loved his work on E2 Mamma Tambien, so I've been watching since then.
Okay, I guess maybe I'm not talking about you guys then, because you guys are sort of ahead of the game.
Not representative of the population.
You're talking about the masses who went for The New World.
Yeah.
No, well, fine.
Because we're also the Bradford Young crowd, who nobody knows yet either.
Yeah. Where was all the references to Bradford Young being snubbed, along with David Oyelowo?
Well, Bradford Young is going to be one of those people like Chivo where, like,
yeah.
you know, 15 years down the line, people are going to be, like, you know, so happy for him finally winning.
Yeah. And then this guy again. God, he has 3 Oscars in a row.
They'll just have to let Oprah present cinematography every year until she can finally say his name the way that Jessica Chastain said Chivo.
Who do you guys think got the biggest, you know, momentum is such an important thing in Oscars, so who do you think got the most career boost from this season?
Is there any way it's not Patricia Arquette? Like,
well, but is what is she? It
but she's going
she
back
does.
To TV.
She's
doing
CSI Cyber.
Next. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a kind of job that allows her to take a whole lot of other jobs. But and also, there's no way that deal wasn't worked out before the entire internet decided that they loved Patricia Arquette. Like, just in terms of somebody who a few months ago mm-hmm. I had no real sense of anybody feeling particularly allegiant to, and now has this huge groundswell of related to that performance, but just in general, that's been kind of staggering.
Yeah, I think for me, I would say Bradley Cooper, just because three in a row, and people were, you know, rooting for him at the last minute, even though it had been a Keaton and Redmayne the whole time. I got this feeling that people were actually rooting for Cooper to surprise.
Bradley, yeah. I was rooting for you at the first minute. Just want to say.
Well, and also, I realized, I mean, someone tweeted about this, and it boggles my mind. American Sniper is going to be the highest grossing movie of 2014
yes.
by the time it's done,
it's
which is
crazy.
Insane. And also, Bradley Cooper was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was in, like, two of the three biggest movies of the year. And that's, like, it kind of happened stealthily. Like, he did it without being ever present, like, without making everybody sick of him. Yeah, I think he's going to come off pretty well from this.
Yeah, American Sniper is currently 11 million behind Hunger Games.
It's so insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
I was also thinking about Damien Chazelle, who wasn't nominated for anything, mm-hmm. but was so effusively thanked by everybody. I think
yes.
he's pointing this out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I think he's not 25, but he looks 25, and I think of him as being really young. And it just seems
super
like he's
young.
Really... It seems like he set himself up really well for whatever his next thing is in a way that's almost better than if he'd gotten, like, the surprise Best Director nomination. Like, he's kind of a little bit under the radar, but is clearly really well-liked. And his movie got people so passionate that it maybe won 3 Oscars?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his next movie is actually a full musical.
That's really exciting.
A full musical. And he told me, because I haven't put the interview up yet, but he told me that he was going for, like, Gene Kelly / Jacques Demy.
Would you ever see Guy Madeline on a park bench?
No.
it's very like traditional musically, and you know, made on a shoestring.
Yeah.
I saw it at Tribeca a while ago, but you can definitely see his interest in that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's Miles Teller again, but he says he can sing and dance too, and I'm like, okay.
Didn't you see Footloose?
I did not, no.
Sorry, that sounded really indignant. Miles Teller is really, really charming in the Footloose remake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I agree with that. That's a good choice, Katie.
Joe, did you have one?
I put down Lady Gaga because I thought she sort of showed up in a way that I think maybe people aren't prepared to see that side of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that sort of the Julie Andrews embrace was also felt like welcoming her into a different sort of sphere.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I think she really needed it too, because she's had a little bit of a weird, you know, descent lately.
Well, not so, I mean, she's succeeding wildly with this Tony Bennett album. It's just with a you know,
right,
totally different demographic.
And people going, just do Stairway.
Yeah.
And our favorite perennial question, which of the nominated actors do you think will be back first?
Cooper.
Mm.
They're just going to keep
nominating. What's his next thing, Joy?
What is his next thing?
He is in Joy, right? Or is he has like a tiny part in it? Well, he's in Aloha.
Is the part in Joy tiny?
I felt like I remember them saying it was like a cameo more than anything.
I mean, they said that about Jennifer Lawrence and Hustle, too. So.
That's true. You never really know.
And she was cast late in that process, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got two movies next year.
I'll call it now. Supporting actor.
Cameron Crowe movie next year.
God.
Untitled Jeff Wells project. Oh, it's the new...
John Wells.
John Wells.
Please.
What? Jeff Wells.
Please. Oh, please.
Sorry.
God.
Whoa, that was a... Yeah.
Also, the cast
was walking over my grave.
The cast of this John Wells thing, isn't that Sienna Miller, Uma Thurman, Emma Thompson, Jamie Dornan, Daniel Brühl?
John Wells always gets the stars.
Yeah.
Go read the cast list of The Company Men, and you'll feel really good for a second.
Yeah, and August Osage County.
Yeah.
I think Emma Stone will be back in
no time.
I don't know what movie she has coming out, but there's just no way, right? Well, right. There's always a way, but.
Yeah, I think those are two safe bets.
Don't you figure Eddie Redmayne will be sticking around for a while, too? Like, he's extremely castable, and will probably be doing a lot of prestige-y things, and they'll want to keep embracing him.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the Jupiter Ascending nomination locked up.
So. Well, yeah, obviously.
He's got what?
I told Derek that he'd won, and he goes, even though he looks like that? Yeah.
He is so cute.
I think so, too.
Okay, let's take some... Unless you have any final thoughts on the Oscars, we can take some reader questions. Anything final you guys wanted to say about the ceremony?
Well, the reader questions are about them, too, right?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. I love this question from Mark. What happens to Morton Tildum now? Does Harvey keep him on a ball and chain like Lasse Hallström in the 90s?
That seems like
he got a call from Lasse Hallström, the way Katie Holmes got that one from Nicole Kidman. That's like, here's how you get out of this.
When the time comes, open this envelope. It will tell you what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that's going to be a nomination people don't remember. No offense, but
yeah,
right. The Peter Vittanio like, of his time.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll go make some like great Danish movie.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
He's actually Norwegian.
Oh, damn it.
I know, I screwed up with that just one time. I wrote that he was Swedish. And
what?
That doesn't mean he can't make a Danish movie.
That's true.
Don't be a racist.
That's true. Liv Ullmann made lots of Swedish movies.
There you go.
It's tough to like try and predict anything with Morton Tilden because I feel like not having seen his earlier movies, The Imitation Game doesn't give you a great sense of his aesthetic.
No.
That's true.
I feel like he could like do the reverse Tom Hooper and like go make John Adams or something.
Mm.
Maybe. Well,
someone who there's like no way he was the first person that they called, right? Like
don't.
So that if he was able to turn a gig that one presumes he was on some kind of list that he wasn't at the top of, and it was as successful as it was.
That's true.
That's going to help.
Yeah, right? He's going to, I mean, because it's like $80 something million already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Anderson and Linklater? Now that they've broken through, will they be recognized going forward? You know, that does kind of happen to people.
Yeah.
Like David Fincher and P.T. Anderson.
Alexander Payne, David O. Russell, yeah.
So do you think they'll finally wise up to Wes Anderson's whimsy?
It seems like they have, honestly. I mean, that the Grand Budapest Hotel won a lot of Oscars. You know, not Best Picture or anything, but it does feel like Wes Anderson, much more likely than Linklater, will be back frequently.
Yes, except Anderson works exclusively in comedy, and I feel like the Oscars sometimes feel like, well, we've found our comedy this year, so, like, you can be a comedy next year. And that would be the one thing that would sort of hold me back. And I feel like also, I mean, maybe next time Anderson comes back with another Fantastic Mr. Fox or something like that. And
I think
the with the both of them, they kind of play with genre in ways that would defy the Oscars, whereas, and I mean, I'm assuming that their careers will continue the way they have been, but like, David O. Russell kind of, and I like a lot of David O. Russell movies from the new era, but like, he really did kind of flatten out his aesthetic, or like, narrow it down to like, one type of thing. In a way that his earlier career was a lot more sort of like, spiky and choppy, and that really works for the Oscars, who the voters tend to like to be able to know what they're getting from you. And I think Linklater particularly just kind of goes all over the place with the types of movie that he makes. His next thing could end up being wildly out of their, you know, preferred wheelhouse. And
And Wes Anderson seems much more likely to be consistent.
Although it is difficult, even though they've noticed him, it is difficult to think of something like Moonrise Kingdom, for example, which I love. I love it more than The Budapest. It's tough to think of something like that winning their favor.
Interesting, because I was going to say the exact opposite, that if Moonrise Kingdom came after Grand Budapest and not before, like if that was next year's movie, I think that would be a shoo-in for a Best Picture nomination.
Well, it came really close.
Right.
We think it came really close.
I think it would at least have a shot at not just getting nominated for script anymore.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, his production people now will be more noticed, because it's frankly insane that the production designers from the other ones haven't been.
I mean, and like, look at the Inherent Vice costume nomination, like, to use Paul Thomas Anderson as the example. Like, that's somebody being considered in a way that they weren't being considered before, and like, kind of bringing the production along with it.
Next hurdle is to get an actor from a Wes Anderson movie nominated, because if you look at how many awards Grand Budapest won this year, it's baffling that none of that attention ever spilled over onto Ralph Fiennes. For like, such, it wasn't like he was
such one a of the, signature performance.
It's a signature performance. It's like, it's so clearly like the lead, all spotlights on him in that movie, even for as much of an ensemble as Wes Anderson attracts. Like, it's in 10 years we're gonna look back on that and just have no idea why that never happened.
It's like Gene Hackman and Royal Tenenbaum. It's like the same
level, except if Royal Tenenbaums had won five other Oscars.
Well, and Gene Hackman got some attention, which Rafe didn't.
Well, he won the Golden Globe, right?
He did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess people are probably a little tired of the Oscars. We should probably keep it tight.
I don't even know if you're joking right now. our readers?
I don't know. I've been posting so much, you know, like through my sickness, that I've been worried people are going to be like, oh my God, again? Julianne Moore again today?
Wait, if they've been reading your site and they're surprised that you're still writing about Julianne Moore, they need to find another website.
Okay, sure.
They're not picking up on context clues all that well. I was going to say, I thought that Emma Stone and Keira Knightley and Felicity Jones would all be great matches for a Wes Anderson movie, given that somebody asked about matching directors with, or maybe that was you, Nathaniel.
I was trying to think of where I wanted to put Rosamund Pike, and I can't get enough of a read on her to figure out what, except for Back with Joe Wright, which isn't going to happen.
Her with Iñárritu. Because he gets very, very intense work out of people, even within comedy. Well, this is his first comedy, but like, he tends to, you know, people tend to really go for it.
It's and a great idea.
And she is so, like, she has such so much reserve in her performances that it would be interesting, I think. Or the friction would be interesting, at least.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what she does next. I hope that she kind of turns this into something else equally meaty and maybe less campy and really see what we can get out of her.
Who do you think Richard Linklater would help? Because his movies are so, like, sort of mellow in some ways.
It'll never happen, but I want Meryl Streep to be in a Richard Linklater movie.
Oh, man.
Like, I would love
that would be interesting, actually.
Right? Just to see her incredibly, like...
loose.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Benedict Cumberbatch for the same reason. Because I think he can do it, but he hasn't done anything like that really, I mean, ever, as far as I know. And yeah. I think he's more talented than, like, the kind of rut he found himself in with Sherlock plus Alan Turing. Mm-hmm. That might be a really good way to be like, okay, here's an actual guy, not just, like, fancy British actor who can look really smart.
Yeah.
He'll be in a Wes Anderson movie in no time at all.
Oh, man.
I thought Ruffalo or Norton would be good for Linklater.
Ruffalo would be great.
Yeah, like, he's already ready to go, right?
Yeah. And Norton could definitely... He's got the beard.
Yep. Yeah, he's got the vague smell of pot sort of thing.
Yep.
And Norton could probably stand to be with somebody who's going to loosen him up a little bit. And probably is really interested in those kinds of experiments.
The thing with Streep and Linklater that made me think about the most was the end of Angels in America when they're all sitting by the fountain. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, reading the paper to Jeffrey Wright and Ben Schenkman. Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
And it's all just very kind of, like, conversational, and they sort of, like, fade into the background. And I feel like that's sort of that's the Meryl that I feel like Linklater could pull out. And that's really interesting to me.
But thank you, everyone, for such a great season. And we hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. We'll take a little break, of course, but then we'll be back.
It'll only be so long before all these summer blockbusters come and we get to start talking about which one everyone will be mad doesn't get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, point.
Well, we have our first superhero movie winning, sort of.
Wait, what one? What am I thinking? Oh, Birdman. God, duh. Yes. I even had a Birdman action figure on my desk for a while.
I have it still.
I'm still hanging out with Baymax.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.